3 John, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. See, isn't that good, Brother Sutliff? You see that? That's what we're praying for. It's okay to say those things. You know, I'm reading over that list and I'm like, Lord, these are completely out of my control. But then I was reminded of this verse and it's okay to pray that. Even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. We see this reoccurring word. This is the third time we see it by the end of verse 3. The word truth. The basis of their, relationship between John and Gaius was what? The truth. Their love for the truth. He says this, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. So Gaius not only had some good conversation, but he made it his own. He took the truth of the word of God. And he says this, he gives us this little thought, this word, or this verse here. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, certainly, Gaius would be someone that had been taught by John or something of that sort. And, he referenced him as his child. You know, last night at the house came out Ashley and Roger. I know they're not my kids, and I know Mrs. Frediani's here. I'm not treading on that. But I'm just saying that. You know, when you invest so much time into, you know, all these students that have come through our school, I feel like they're almost my own children. And it says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We can do a lot of things for one another, but there's nothing greater than to hear, you know, as a teacher or a pastor or somebody that maybe just as a parent, I don't want to know that you have six-figure income. I don't want to even know. I want to know that you walk in truth. And that is as someone that has been in the ministry a little bit and worked with our young adults since, I don't know, 17 years or so now, all I want to know is that the children walk in truth. And that's what we pray for. That's what we look at. You know, the word children is kind of a relative term. If I ask Jay, how many children do you have? You'll tell me three, you know, ranging in age from five and on your way down. Now, if I asked, you know, Mrs. Martinez, how many children do you have? She would tell me, and some of her kids are a little bit older, but yet still her child. If I asked Mrs. K, how many children do you have? What would you respond? None. I don't have any children. I have grown adults that call me on a regular basis. No, you would still say three. Is that correct? Right. Ms. Dickinson, how many children do you have? Three. Very good. Well, there we are. Child isn't necessarily relative of do I eat dirt off the ground? And so let's get past the thought here. Here, John is calling an elder, Gaius, his child. Now, certainly there's a point to be had about parent and child relationship, and I get that, and I understand that, and we'll make a point of that, but let's be careful that we not just compartmentalize this thought of children, and it can even transfer over to those that we've invested in. So maybe you're here today, and you might say, I don't have any children. Does this verse no longer apply? No, it certainly applies. As far as we know, Paul did not have any children, right? Did that mean that Paul did not physically have any children? No, but what did he call Timothy, his own son, right? John, I don't know his life, you know, but here we know Peter had a mother-in-law, so obviously he was married, but John, we don't know whether Gaius is obviously not his own child, but a result of maybe investment in the word, right? Isn't that whom I love in the truth, he says? So we can make this connection of how important, number one, let's look at how important truth is. What was the foundation of their relationship? What was the most valued part of their relationship? Well, it was the truth. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy, go there, 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hey, there's some things that we can talk about in the scriptures, as the Bible says, and we're not going to get into necessarily dispensations here, but there is the word of God has a real good way of separating things, saying what is right and what is good, but the Bible says rightly dividing what? The word of truth. So we study the word of God to get the truth into us. Here, what was the basis of their relationship? The truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's not a lot of true things these days. You watch TV and you wonder, did they doctor that? Did they, you know, last night I think, anybody following the Jeopardy thing? Anybody with that? Right? Anybody with that? And I look at that and go, are they giving Ken Jennings the answer? There's no possible way that man knows that stuff. Well, I look at that and go, I don't know. We watch sports and I don't know. Patriot. True. Astros. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. What's truth? Well, the Word of God is always true. Whether we like it or not, we talked about it on Sunday morning. Whether I like it or not, it shows me right where I'm at. And it is always true. You know, if I give my opinion about something, there's a chance, Brother Sutliff, I might be off. The greatest, the best. And maybe some years later I realize, oh, I spoke in error. But if we relay the truth of the Word of God, know what we'll never have to do? Go back and correct it. Because it's truth. It's always been truth. The Bible says that this book is actually truth. It's truth. So what was the relationship between these two or that one as between the father and child, and if we can make the spiritual application, maybe discipler and disciplee, or one that is invested in the other. What is the basis or the strength of the relationship? The Bible says truth. Look at John 16:13. We'll see another value in the truth of the Word of God. And then we'll move on how we can make some applications to this. John chapter 16 and verse 13. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, who's the he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Isn't it good to know that God never leads us astray? Never leads us astray. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Bible tells us that he is the Spirit, capital S, of truth. And I'm thankful that not only do I hold the Word of God and I know the truth, but number two, I have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that just says yes to everything that this book says. So if I'm going to make a great impact on somebody's life, well, what do they need? The truth. A lot of people are sadly mistaken these days for what is truth. I had the real blessing of this past week. I met with one of the superintendents over at Hilton. And man, it went really well. Because she had some principles that aligned not with me, but the Bible. It was great. She said these words multiple times. She goes, just between you and me. So what after? Well, it was just between me and her. I couldn't. That would be a violation there. Right? That wouldn't be right. But we agreed on a lot of things. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful that she didn't agree with me. She agreed with the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. And if we're going to have any impact in our children's life, yes, we can teach them to love baseball, or yes, we can teach them to eat, you know, chicken and vegetables, and yes, we can teach them of all the things that are important to us. But most important is that they walk in truth. That they know what the truth of the Word of God is. And that's where the joy comes from. You want a miserable person, you'll find someone that's away from the Word of God. You want to find someone that's walking in joy, you'll find someone that's obeying the Word of God. And we've talked about that. Obedience is the pathway by which we find ourselves at the land of joy. If you want to have joy in your life, obey God. Obey God, that's the only way. How do I know? Through the Word of truth, for the Spirit of truth. As I continue the passage, though, there were some words that really stood out to me. In 3 John verse 5, and we'll go through these very quickly, I want you to pay attention to some words. Beloved, thou doest, look at this next word, faithfully. 3 John verse chapter 1 and verse 5. We're looking at, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And as a dad, as a father, I have 5 children, my oldest is 15, and I look at him and I go, man, how do I make him want the truth of the Word of God? Is there more to this thought? And as I read, there were words that jumped off the page to me that said, if I'm faithful and doing this as a dad, if I take these character traits and make them important, it will lend itself that he would want to walk in truth. So let's take a look at some of these words that jump out of here. Beloved, thou doest faithfully. That's one word. Whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity. Here we have 2 key words that are going to lead us to that. If we apply these principles, that the child, both physically and spiritually, will desire the truth. Number one, faithfully. Number two, charity. Which before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. 3 things I saw as I read that. I thought, well, certainly I need to be faithful. Number 2, I need to act in charity. And number 3, well, I need to be godly myself. Not without error, not perfect. Don't put standards on yourself that are unreachable. But I ought to, as a teacher, see what are we talking to here tonight? Down this hallway, our classroom's filled with children. What we have here are the fathers, the mothers, the ones that are saying this verse, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. As you read that verse, this verse applies to you. So how do you execute and make that happen? What can you do? Number one, that thou doest faithfully. That you be faithful. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. I want to do everything on my end. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. It says, a faithful man shall, look at this phrase, Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Hey, when I'm walking faithfully with God, what does it say? The Bible says that you'll abound with blessings. Abound with blessings. Galatians 6:9. We know that verse. We can paraphrase it with this. You reap what you sow. You do right. You adhere to the... Now listen. To the truth. Well, the Bible says there's a blessing associated with that. If you're faithful to the Word of God, God says, I'll bless that. So how can you make such guarantees? God's making the guarantee.
That's right.
That's it. That's His. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. How can we help our children, whoever they are, whether spiritual or physical, walk in truth? Well, what I can do is be faithful to the things of God. 1 Corinthians 10:21 says this. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. What does that mean? You've got to be faithful. You can't say one thing and live another. You can't walk one way one day and walk another way another day. You're either all in or you're all out, but can I encourage you to be all in? Within the four walls of your home, that's who you are. You can dress it up nice here, but if you ask your children, hey, make sure that you're being faithful to the things that... Make sure you're being faithful to the truth. Whether we see it or not, tomorrow something's going to happen. Say, what is that? The sun will rise. It's going to happen. Whether we see it or not, because we live in Rochester, there's clouds. 95% of it feels like the days. You get a winter day and the sun comes out. People are walking around in sandals and shorts. Just get excited. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, man, I really blew this. Oh, tomorrow when the sun rises, you have another opportunity. You are correct. You cannot change the past, but you certainly can change what you'll be known as at the end. And if you'd like to go forward and say, listen, I've made a mess of my life. I've wandered from the things of God. I have not chosen wisely. I have led a life where, well, yes, I sat at both tables, both God's table and the table of devils, and I lived a hypocritical life, and my children, whoever they are, well, not the better for it. Well, praise the Lord, you have another day tomorrow to begin to steer that ship right. And we know that as the ship is going the one way, the hardest turns are the first turns. Man, that takes the most amount of strength and the most amount of effort. But understand this, when that thing starts going in the right direction, blessings. Why? Because we're faithful in the truth. Faithful in the truth. If you would like to be able to say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, be faithful to the truth. Number two, charity. Charity. Charity, listen, and I know what time it is. Charity to each other within the family. All right? Whether it's the physical home and we're being kind and loving to one another, or we're being kind and loving towards the church family, whatever it is. We act charitable towards each other, but we also are charitable towards others outside of the family. It'd be a shame. Hey, the things that you're saying aren't real. I don't want it. It would be a shame upon our Christianity if our children don't want the God of their father. I understand God has given us a free will. But what can I do? Well, I can be faithful. Number two, I can act in charity. Look at this verse, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14 says this, and above all these things, put on charity. Look at, which is the bond of perfectness. At our house, we break stuff. I don't like it, but it happens. Today I was sitting down. It was maybe Sarah left at, I don't know, maybe about 6 o'clock or so, maybe 5 to 6 to get to church for choir practice. So she said, I'm taking the kids that are ready. And they love to come here early. It makes no sense to me, but they want to come here early. So Hudson wanted to come here early, but he's not allowed to come early because, you know. And so he's there with me. And so I'm sitting just reading over some stuff. I'm on the couch just getting ready. It's maybe 5 after 6, 10 after 6. And he comes in and he's got, I bought him a big high bounce ball. And he's in the living room and I saw it go down once and I'm like, no. Why, Dad? Because look around you. Things break. And a lot of our figurines have been bonded back together. Loctite is a wise investment. It's what holds, listen now, it's what holds broken things together. It's the bond of perfectness. Not that things are perfect without it. It makes it perfect. Charity. It's what takes broken things and makes them nice. The love of God far exceeds what I could ever. And He has certainly shown it to me and has expected of us to show it to others. It's what brings us together. It's what keeps us together. It's good for our children to see that, to be part of that. Lastly, godliness. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is our responsibility to walk not only faithfully, but in godliness, because otherwise it would provoke my child to wrath. Godliness. You know what my boys want from me? A four-wheeler. Yeah, they do. A new bedroom. Yes, they want that also. Know what they want more than anything? Is that their dad walks with God. Because four-wheelers break down. They'll move out of the room. But the thing that will carry them through their entire life is the power of truth. And you know what your children need? Diapers. Yeah. 3 square meals. My kids think they need 6 square meals a day. No, they need you to walk with the Lord. More than anything else. More than a college bill paid. More than a car. More than a new outfit. More than any of that. They need you to live godly. You may be sitting here thinking, I haven't. Well, thank God we have tomorrow. And start again. Say, I fell down the last 7 times I tried. Well, get back up and go try it again. And do your best. But this time, use the truth. Guaranteed, if you try it yourself, you'll fail. So allow the Word of God to lead and guide you to be who you ought to be. 3 John chapter 1. And verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So what can I do? I can be faithful. I can live in charity. I can be after a godly sort. That would help. That would help. Let's all stand. Appreciate you being here tonight. It's always good to come to church midweek. Pray for our young people as they head back to college, and we're going to miss them. And when do we see you again? May? That seems like a long time, May. But all right, well, keep them in your prayers. And are you guys taking visitors? Can people come see you? I recommend it. It's nice. And just pray for our young people and pray for one another. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you that your word is so perfect. And Lord, help us to just obey it. Lord, help us to have that bond of perfectness around it, that we would encourage one another with truth. Lord, we love you tonight. We love our children, whether they be our physical or even spiritual children, Lord. We love them. And Lord, help us to live a life that would point them to you. Lord, watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a good night.